We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
This is Greg Olson, inviting you to check out my new Blue Wire podcast, TE1, where I interview tight ends throughout the history of the NFL who have helped revolutionize the position. TE1 is presented by the Chevy Silverado. The Silverado is all about grit. It's strong and dependable, exactly like playing tight end. Just like the incredible players we sit down with on the podcast, the Chevy Silverado is in a league of its own. Strong, advanced, and dependable. Download TE1 today, wherever you listen to podcasts.
Blue Wire.
What's up, Nets fans? Welcome to Brooklyn Buzz. I'm Nick Fay. With me, as always, Jack Manuel, and regular guest on the show, Nolan Jensen. Fellas, how we doing?
I'm doing all right. I got really nothing to complain about outside of school, but I mean, those kind of, you know, petty issues. But outside of that, I'm doing well. I'm excited to take a break from the studying here and talk a little Brooklyn Nets basketball, as per always, with you boys.
Nets basketball.
Always good to talk Nets basketball. Obviously not as crazy in terms of topics, but we're kind of still carrying over some of that Steve Nash hype. As always, you can find the Brooklyn Buzz on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, OTGBasketball.com, and Blue Wire Pods. But Jack, what are we discussing today?
Not that crazy, Nick, mate. Have you looked at this Google Doc that I got prepared here? We've got a page worth of stuff. We're not getting through all this. Don't worry about that. We've got plenty of content. What is he talking about, ladies and gentlemen? Let's start with the Canadian Goats article for Nets Daily, where he was Mr. Nolan Jensen dived deep into the offensive weaponry and mid-range expertise of Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving. Nolan, what do you think these two can bring to the Nets offense under Steve Nash going forward? How valuable will they be to the playoffs? And everyone also, go check it out at netsdaily.com. That article is a really great one.
First off, I appreciate that. Secondly, it's going to be a breath of fresh air. I mean, under Kenny, the last 4 years, we generated certain looks, a.k.a. shots beyond the arc. We got to the free throw line regularity, and that was always a good thing, and tried to generate as many looks at the rim. And I expect under Steve Nash, we're still going to do that because that's just how modern offenses operate. But the premise of that article, I was actually I came across an Eric Spoelstra video in the offseason where he talked about the biggest trends in the game today. And he talked about exactly what I said, how modern offenses look to generate looks, again, at the rim, beyond the three-point line, and at the free throw line. So if that's how the teams are scheming offensively, and more importantly, what defenses are trying to negate, as he mentioned, like, that leaves mid-range jumpers and post-ups available. And in the NBA world, it's not too many players in the NBA that are better at posting up than Kevin Durant in terms of efficiency. He was 77th percentile last year. as a Golden State Warrior, 2.5 post-ups per game. I mean, the Brooklyn Nets this season only ran 0.5 as a team. So, as I mentioned, drastically different looks. And Kyrie Irving, as a guard, is actually excellent at posting up. He ranked in the 91st percentile. And in terms of mid-range Jays, I mean, they both shot above 50%. I mean, not just last season, but over like the course of the last few. So, mid-range aficionados, post-ups, they got that in the repertoire as well. There's really nothing that they can't do. And as we've seen in the postseason, I mean, if that shot's there, especially in crunch time, they're going to take it. And as mentioned, there's not too many players in the NBA that are better at exploiting potentially dogmatic defensive schemes as KD or Kyrie Irving.
Now, Nolan, do you think this is a spot where having Steve Nash as a coach is just ideal because of his feel for the game and understanding his players and kind of maybe willing to adapt? Obviously, we haven't seen him coach yet, but it just seems like he would be a guy that would let Kyrie, let KD take some of those shots like you mentioned that, you know, Kenny Atkinson wasn't such a big fan of.
What I use as an example is with Steve Kerr under Golden State. I mean, it was motion spread offense given their primary ball handlers and their capable shooters, but Steve Kerr also gave KD a healthy diet of isolation and post-ups, and I expect no different with Steve Nash, who saw that firsthand in Golden State as a player development consultant his time spent there. So he's going to let, you know, his chefs cook. That's just what he's going to do. But as you mentioned, and I think we talked about this in a previous podcast, mentioned multiple times, I really like that he put an emphasis on in-game adjustments, malleability, because as a coach in the NBA, that's how you're going to survive. You want to be more like a Frank Vogel, Coach Spo, Brad Stevens, Nick Nurse, more than you want to be like, let's be honest, you know, a D'Antoni or Coach Bud, or, you know, even like a Kenny Atkinson. That malleability, the ability to form and reform, is what's going to get you through a postseason. And though we've never watched Steve Nash coach, we don't really know what his schemes are going to look like. I think that's what he's going to bring to the table. I think that's how he's going to maximize the Nets' window in these next couple of years.
And I think if you look at it, just the coaches that are left right now in the conference finals, you mentioned Brad Stevens, Eric Spoelstra, Frank Vogel, Mike Malone, all guys willing to kind of make those adjustments. And just talking Kyrie and KD in terms of like their skill set and allowing them to attack that mid-range and post-up area, do you think this will have an influence on what the Nets do in the offseason, is trying to make sure that they can kind of complement those guys to allow them to attack those areas as well? Or it's not really going to play a huge part? Their skill set is so versatile, it doesn't really matter.
I'm looking at the Google Doc right now that Jack made up for us, and I'm seeing Drew Holiday at the top of it. So that's immediately what I'm going to look to. I'm in favor. I'm all for Drew Holiday. I mean, in terms of complementary assets that the Nets can acquire, and we want to be able to maximize this window, as we just mentioned, Drew Holiday's perfect, man. I mean, yeah, he's going to be 30, but he should have at least 2 to 3 more elite or borderline elite, at least to his standard, seasons left under his belt. And that's kind of all we need. I mean, a versatile defender that can guard 1 through 4. I mean, no guard has won Defensive Player of the Year since Gary Payton did in 1996. I feel like if there's a guard that's capable of doing that, it's Drew Holiday. He can lock up your opposition's best perimeter players, sometimes wings a la like a Siakam or a Tatum, and then give you 20 to 25 on any given night. He's perfect. As mentioned, per scoop, Dinwiddie and Jared Allen would be featured in the deal. And though I love Dinwiddie, I love Jared Allen, I'm looking at it logistically. Spencer Dinwiddie is going to inevitably decline his player option next season. I think that's just a given. Jared Allen, RFA extension will kick in. The Nets are already against the cap. They're operating on margins. They're just not going to have the money to resign those guys after next season. So if Marks can turn that into Drew Holiday, I mean, that's just another fantastic move by him, I feel.
What do you think, Jack, on that?
I'm all about Drew Holiday. I think that we've mentioned his name on the pod pretty consistently. It's, you know, been him, Beal, Oladipo, but, you know, the like Nolan alluded to, the fit just makes so much sense. And I will be remiss to say that Musa is also in that package, unfortunately, for all the Musa stands out there on Twitter and beyond. I just think that, and we heard on JJ Redick's podcast as well, which Kevin Durant featured on, how glowingly they both spoke of Drew Holiday. You know, Drew's had time. defending Kevin Durant, and he said he's made it tough for him. Obviously, he's about 6 inches shorter, so he can shoot over him. But, you know, he said he's got quick feet, quick hands. J.J. Redick, obviously, being his current teammate as well. You know, J.J. Redick is probably a name that we could get to Brooklyn. We've got plenty of trade stuff that we'll probably get to. But in terms of, yeah, just the fit beyond Drew Holiday, it's just defense and three-point shooting. You know, it's I guess looking at it in a Houston Rockets mold of things, the Nets have enough, you know, pure talent and guys that can create their own in the half court, which is, you know, the most important skill in the NBA right now. You know, KD, Kyrie, Karras, Spence, if he were to stay. But, you know, even Drew Holiday can certainly do that as well. And Joe Harris has shown an ability to create his own shot in much more limited circumstances, but can still do it. So I think, yeah, it's guys like Serge Ibaka, Aaron Baines, Mo Harkless, these sort of guys that can just slot in, play some good defense, shoot the three ball every now and then, and be a good role fit in that sort of starting five, and be part of a playoff rotation and a championship rotation, be that in the 7, 8, 9 man rotation, whatever it might be. So for me, those are the names that I'm sort of looking at, because we haven't necessarily seen rumors regarding, you know, Serge Ibaka and those sort of people. Those are the names that are probably more intriguing to me than these sort of third star splashy sort of names, so to speak.
Yeah, it would be really interesting if they're able to kind of, you know, get this trade pushed through. Obviously, I think Torian Prince would have to be included given, you know, salary cap numbers.
Yeah. Yeah.
But if you're able to keep Caris LeVert and add Drew Holiday, that's a pretty big move for you. Because even KD talked about having Caris as such a luxury of having those nights where he can run the offense, he can score 30, he can kind of do his thing and allow Kyrie and KD. Drew Holiday is giving you another one of those guys, and he's giving you that elite defense that you're really missing. So this would be a huge deal to kick off the offseason for the Nets, and really filling a need would not necessarily fully emptying the cupboard, because you'd still have Caris LeVert as a big trade asset if you had to make another move down the line.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that it's we know that Caris's value seems to be solidified within the organization, hearing from KD and just the rumblings that we sort of heard. You know, that could change in a matter of days and weeks, and we have to revise our sort of thoughts here on the buzz. But we'll certainly be keeping abreast of it. But I wanted to get to some more sort of rumors and news that came from some of these podcast appearances, guys, because there was some pretty salient sort of stuff. And I first want to get to Kevin Durant. And he said this in relation to the Nash hiring. Everyone is like, this is KD, this is KD, this is KD. Well, he said differently. First of all, I didn't pick the Nets coach. We got people in place to do that. I just supported it. Me and Kyrie, we're always on the same page. He's just a hooper. It don't matter. Nolan, are you taking his word for it? Is it KD's pick? Is it Sean Marks' pick? Is it Joe Tsai's pick? Who was it?
When I hear Kevin Durant said that, I believe him. This to me, we'll get into it. This kind of seemed like a Sean Marks hiring, in my opinion, dating back to the days back in Phoenix. Obviously, they played together in the latter half of the first decade of the millennium. Marks had his eyes on him apparently since May. I mean, this kind of was like a Marks out of left field hire, in my opinion. Obviously, like, yes, it had to be co-signed by Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, and it feels as if it was, but I would say this was more of a Marks hiring. This was more of a Marks idea. If it was more to the tune of KD or Kyrie Irving, I think you almost go with the quote-unquote safer pick and like a Ty Lue. But with Steve Nash, I mean, it's out of left field. I don't think anyone really saw it coming. Obviously, it was player development consultant in Golden State with Kevin Durant, and they forged a relationship there, and apparently that goes back a number of years. And Kyrie Irving respects the guy he's a fan of, and Steve Nash obviously reciprocates that love back. But I would go out on a limb and say this was more of a Marks hiring, with obviously the co-signing of Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, and then that's what we need. I mean, there's nothing wrong with those three working in unison. That's going to maximize what the Nets are moving forward. I mean, yeah, I overall, even if it wasn't, I would really have no problem with it. But I don't know how do you guys feel about it?
Yeah, I felt like KD was actually pretty animated because there was a video clip of him actually saying it too and seemed like, yeah, it wasn't my pick. I think Sean Marks kind of brought the idea to everybody and it kind of checked all the boxes like we've discussed in the past. Like the relationship with Marks, relationship with KD, Joe Tsai gets the big name hiring at coach, you know, adding more star power to the Brooklyn Nets. So I think Marks kind of came with the idea and everyone was okay with it because it just made a ton of sense in so many different elements.
Yeah, it ticks a lot of boxes. And, you know, I think that when we see KD on a pod, he's quite unfiltered. And in that sort of, you know, he's not going to mince his words. And, you know, there might be times where he sort of speaks some myths, truths, or, you know, goes on tangents in certain respects. But from the podcast appearance from Joe Budden to Steve Nash's pod, which we'll get to all of those, the main points from those in a little bit. You know, I think that it seems to me, as sort of Nolan and you were alluding to, Nick, that, you know, it seems Sean Marks is the guy in that respect. And you know, he was the one that sort of was the impetus for this. And while it's a more risky move, as we've talked about, it's also quite safe in terms of who it appeases within the organization. And, you know, the rewards outweigh the positive possible negatives that are involved. You know, you can always, you know, add an assistant coach in or whatever. You could put an Adam Harrington or Jacques Vaughn if things do go awry. But if you're going all in and you're putting all your chips in, Steve Nash, you could do worse than a smart Canadian, as we know by getting Nolan Jensen on this pod as much as possible.
Even though sports had a break, your business didn't. You have to keep moving. That makes hiring more important than ever. Indeed is here to help. Indeed.com is the number one job site in the world because Indeed gets you the best people fast. Unlike other sites, Indeed gives you full control and payment flexibility of your hiring. You only pay for what you need and can pause your account at any time. And there's no long-term contracts. Plus, Indeed provides powerful tools to make your search that much easier. With 73% of online job seekers visiting Indeed each month, Indeed is going to get you the important hire you need, just like they have for over 3 million businesses. Right now, Indeed is offering our listeners a free $75 credit to boost your job posts, which means more quality candidates will see it fast. Try Indeed out with a free $75 credit at Indeed.com/BlueWire. This is their best offer available anywhere. Go right now to Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Offer valid through September 30th. Even though sports had a break, your business didn't. You have to keep moving. That makes hiring more important than ever. Indeed is here to help. Indeed.com is the number one job site in the world because Indeed gets you the best people fast. Unlike other sites, Indeed gives you full control and payment flexibility of your hiring. You only pay for what you need and can pause your account at any time. And there's no long-term contracts. Plus, Indeed provides powerful tools to make your search that much easier. With 73% of online job seekers visiting Indeed each month, Indeed is going to get you the important hire you need, just like they have for over 3 million businesses. Right now, Indeed is offering our listeners a free $75 credit to boost your job posts, which means more quality candidates will see it fast. Try Indeed out with a free $75 credit at Indeed.com/BlueWire. This is their best offer available anywhere. Go right now to Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Offer valid through September 30th.
But I'll bring to you guys as well. Probably I put a thread out on Twitter following Steve Nash's appearance on JJ Redick's podcast, Future Brooklyn Net, according to Nick Fay. We'll get to that one maybe today, maybe in future pods. But the main point that I took from the podcast and from that thread that seemed to get a lot of traction, and thank you to Nets Daily for jumping on board with that too, was this. Kevin with his length is a matchup problem for everyone. Kevin can play all five positions, and I plan to use him in all five positions. Nolan, is Kevin Durant going to be playing point guard for the Brooklyn Nets next season?
I mean, 1 through 5, like, this is obviously going to be in short stints. It's not like he's going to be a stay-at-home five. It's not like he's going to be bringing the ball up and initiating the offense in every set, kind of like LeBron James did this year with the Lakers, averaging career-high assists. That's probably not going to happen. But it's like, yeah, man, like, in terms of versatility, at least on the offensive end of the floor, even on the defensive end, we saw him really grow as a rim protector in Golden State, warranted. Like, there were three generational defenders with him on the court at most times. But, yeah, there was definitely growth in that aspect as well. I mean, you can kind of, of course, He played 7 to 10% of his minutes at the five, I believe, per Basketball Reference. I remember looking at that before I hopped on the pod with you boys, just so I didn't sound like a complete buffoon. But it's possible. I mean, can we go really small micro ball and put out a def lineup at the end of the games with all the shot creators and just, you know, versatile scores on the floor that the Nets currently have? I'm like, yeah, that's possible. I expect him to primarily be playing minutes at the four, but you can shuffle him around. Again, short stints, yeah, I could see him playing minutes at the five. I could also, in really weird situations, maybe even play a little bit at the one. Who knows? It's Kevin Durant. He's versatile. We know this, so it's not really a surprise.
Yeah, it's not. Kenny Atkinson actually said the same thing when KD was first signed, that he'd play him at all positions. And given the way basketball is positionless, KD's going to bring up the ball a couple times, play point guard a little bit, run the offense, set things up, and then I'm sure we'll see some small ball lineups at different points. Like Nolan said, I don't think it's anything we're going to see in large sample sizes. Like, we're not going to see KD log 35 minutes at center. It'd probably be more of like a 6 or 4 minute stint, or maybe it's a closing lineup against certain teams. And just given his versatility, there's not really anything he can't do offensively. So why wouldn't you use him in every different aspect of his game, on ball, off ball, post ups, whatever it might be? We kind of hinted at it earlier when we were talking about Nolan's piece.
Yeah, I think that if you look to his tenure in Golden State, I think that defensively, he played as probably a rim protector in those death lineups, because Draymond Green, while he is one of the best defenders in the history of the game, KD just has some better, at that point in time before the Achilles injury, was just a better, more athletic player and just increased his rim protection and defensive acumen tenfold in that respect. And he spoke about it on the Steve Nash pod as well. There's the fact that, you know, in OKC, he didn't have to do that. He wasn't asked to do that. Whereas in the new system in Golden State, he flourished as a basketballer in general, and we hope that under Steve Nash that does continue. But I guess he went on one of the most famous podcasts going around, the Joe Budden pod, and there were a few takeaways from it, guys. And the one that I wanted to get to is that the fact that the Nets are in LA, they're playing a bit, and KD feels healthy, saying that he feels like myself, I feel like a player. I'm in a stage now where we're hooping every day. I feel good waiting for next season to get back. When you hear that, Nolan, how does it make you feel?
It's not the first time we've heard this. We've gotten, you know, little brief updates basically since the season started. It, by all accounts, it seems like he's progressing nicely. This would now be, man, almost like lost track of time. What, like a month?
15? Like 15 months?
Yeah, like 15, 16 since he ruptured his Achilles. So, I mean, it's more than a year. Obviously, according to Adam Silver, he mentioned this earlier, we might not have NBA basketball until January, so that gives him an extra few months on top of that. I mean, obviously, there's going to be Russ when he comes back. Even with Michael Jordan, 19 months in his first retirement, he came back, and it took him a while to gain rhythm. And that's,
and no Achilles tear.
Yeah, and no Achilles tear, right? So the first couple of weeks, there's going to be rust. I fully expect him to wear off. I fully expect him to be Kevin Durant. It's nice to hear that he's hooping every day. It's nice to hear that he's having no issues, absolutely no problems with that Achilles. But, you know, it's one of those situations where I kind of just want to see him play basketball on an NBA hardwood. Obviously, we can't. So you do moderately at least have to take this all with a grain of salt. You know, once we see him in the preseason, if there isn't even a preseason, then that's probably going to serve as a better indicator as to where that ankle is at. But I mean, like, I'm no doctor, but, you know, 16 months.
I'd be worried if he wasn't.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like I'd be worried if we're still putting restrictions on what he's able to do with this offseason. Obviously, that's not the case. So I feel good. You know, I felt good about it for a while now. I kind of just want to see him play him at that point. But it's obviously a good thing.
Yeah, I think he's kind of back to 5-on-5. Now he's starting to get back in basketball shape and back to perfecting his skill of being one of the best players in the league. That just doesn't happen overnight. Like, you talk about rehab, but then there's a whole period of practice and getting back in rhythm and being that guy you were. I think another positive from this would just be the Nets are already spending time together, which I think is huge given chemistry and what we saw during this postseason with the Clippers. If the Nets can kind of start to build up some of that, it could be a big part of next year's success.
Yeah, apparently Adam Harrington is also out there as well. So it seems that a lot of
I feel
of the
like
guys
he's everyone's favorite coach.
It seems to me. Yeah, I mean, wholesome content on his Twitter as well. Make sure you give Adam Harrington a follow. And Adam Harrington, if you want to jump on the buzz, slide in the DM at the JManJBT. For me, just to quickly put a lid on those comments, the one that made me, obviously, you know, we want to see it. We hear these comments. It's good to hear. But I just like the point, I feel like myself like a player. Like, it's just like, okay, now he's not just healthy. He feels like he's ready to play NBA basketball. And, you know, when we probably thought that 3 months ago, and we probably thought that when we were talking about it pre-bubble. But, you know, that's certainly a positive for me going forward. But, guys, let's get some Knicks saltiness on this pod. We're all about it. Any Knicks listeners, feel free to jump into Knicks DMs at OTG Nick. But in terms of, I'll bring to you both points of view. So obviously he was asked about the decision on the JJ Redick pod, and then he furthered that on the Joe Budden pod. So I'm going to give you both quotes, guys. And this was around in response to JJ Redick. I never planned on it. The media put that out there. I didn't want to be the savior of the Knicks or New York. I didn't care about being the king of New York. That never really moved me. I didn't care about being on Broadway. I just wanted to play ball and go to the crib and chill. And that's what Brooklyn embodied. Brooklyn was everything I'm about. Chill, on the low, all black, everything. We're quiet. We just focus on basketball. There's no show when you come to our games. No Madison Square, Mecca, all that shit. We're just going to hoop, build something new in Brooklyn. I felt that way around February leading up until March. And then once free agency hit, it was time. Before I get to the Joe Budden comments, Nolan, surely a bit of Knicks saltiness makes you feel good.
I mean, it's always fun, you know, friendly banter between Knicks and Nets fans. I've got a record, and I'll say it again. I really want the Knicks to be good. It just makes for a better rivalry within the boroughs. As far as the comments go, it's funny because you're not exactly going to escape the bright lights of New York. I mean, I warrant it, you're not in the Mecca, the Madison Square Garden. That's not your home arena, but all eyes are going to be on the Brooklyn Nets once Kevin Durant eventually debuts. That's not going anywhere. So those comments, I understood the premise. I understand where he's coming from. The Nets, obviously, it does feel like it's more quote-unquote chill atmosphere. But at the same time, you're not escaping the bright lights of New York City, so... With those
especially
comments
in this social media climate,
yeah, exactly. There's gonna be plenty of people that want to see you succeed, probably even more that want to see you fail. That just comes with the territory of being Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, so that's not going anywhere. As far as like all of his Knicks comments holistically, it's obviously a talking point within social media and within like mainstream media, a la like Undisputed or First Take, etc., because whatever Kevin Durant says, that's always a big deal because, yeah, he's Kevin Durant. But he's being asked these questions and he's giving, you know, genuine, insightful, in a lot of cases, answers. And then obviously that's what like Bleacher Report or ESPN or whatever will highlight, you know, just take that. Sometimes even out of context, throw the quote out on Twitter and then watch the world implode. And in that regard, I'll be honest with you, I'm kind of getting tired of it. Like, you know, he chose Brooklyn. This happened 14 months ago. I wish we didn't continually ask him why he churned the Knicks or why he decided to go to Brooklyn, another borough. But like, I understand it is what it is. This is how media operates. They want good quotes. They got some damn good quotes too out of that. So, but all in all, I'm growing tired of it. I'm not going to lie.
I feel like it was kind of just a situation where everybody knew that KD was going to New York, but everyone just kind of assumed it was going to be the Knicks, given that they're like hype, where so maybe the players started to respect Brooklyn a little bit more than the media did because of, hey, there's still a focus on basketball and there's not all this extra stuff. And like the Nets are about winning and doing their things. And KD noticed that. So that was kind of one of the main reasons he came, especially him saying, like, I think one of the bigger things that was kind of surprising from the quote was just like, oh, you made this decision in February and March that you kind of wanted to be out, and this is kind of where you're looking to go. I found that pretty intriguing.
Yeah, I think that was the probably point that I found the most sort of, you know, like, oh, okay, that's interesting. Because we, you know, obviously there was all the, the BS that came from MSG in terms of their promotional stuff, having like Kevin Durant on a goddamn poster and a billboard and all that sort of stuff. But yeah, I think that again, it's just to hear the forthright honesty of Kevin Durant, which I think we get more of him when he's on wax with players, more so than when he's with like Bill Simmons or Joe Budden or whoever. And when he's with, you know, actual basketball players, it seems to me that he's a little bit looser. And to sort of hear that, you know, you look at the person, and when everyone analyzes the personality of Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving for that matter, probably more than two other superstars in maybe the past couple of decades. Maybe LeBron James is probably in that category as well. But the vibe, when you look at when it makes me hark back to pre-signing, and Nick was probably more so like, oh, I can see it happening, Jack. And I'm like, look, it's Knicks, man. Like, come on, it just all makes sense. Rich Kleiman, blah, 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 blah. Right. But now that I look at it and I hear those comments about, you know, keeping it on the down low, keeping it chill, it's the Brooklyn vibe, all black, everything. I'm like, that makes so much sense. Why could I not, like, why don't I know Kevin Durant more? Why didn't I not put X and Y together to create Z? It made so much sense in hindsight. But I'll...
And we didn't even talk about how bad the Knicks are as a team, like in terms of their actual on-court product in comparison to the Nets.
Yeah, I put that aside because I thought that... Yeah, look, I'm wrong a lot on not just this podcast, but JBT, The Outlet, and all basically NBA podcasts. I'm wrong a lot, but I'm happy to admit when I'm wrong.
You were actually happy to admit you were wrong about this one.
God damn, it feels good to be wrong. I'll happily be wrong about plenty of other things if it means that we get to sign Kevin Durant. In saying that, final thing on the sort of Knicks drama, we'll put this to bed on the buzz and going forward. I think KD did it as well on the Joe Budden pod. He said this, and he was asked, can you leave the Knicks alone? He's like, what do you mean? They bothered me for a whole year. I was just trying to chill, just play and worry about my season. All the Knicks fans and those Knicks media, they bothered me the whole year. But when it's my time to talk about it, I got to shut up now. I've been wanting to ask these questions for a year. Now that I'm available, it's a problem. Nolan, how do you feel sort of KD sticking up for himself a little bit to all the Knicks stands and Knicks haters out there and James Dolan stands?
I mean, it's weird.
Are there James Dolan stands? Sorry, why don't I?
No. No.
Went under the rug and move on. I mean, it's always weird when we demonize athletes for showing their character, who they truly are. And Kevin Durant, like, I mean, it says in his bio, he's going to do him, and it's exactly what he's doing. I mean, we have two of the most outspoken superstars, like you mentioned, of recent memory, who are going to tell it how they see it, and they're going to, you know, give the media great quotes like they've done over the last couple of years, because they're real, they're authentic, and sometimes that can be portrayed in a variety of ways, but he has a point, you know, like Kevin Durant has been on blast by a lot of Knicks fans over the past year for spurning them and going to Brooklyn. And now he's in a spot where he's done, you know, plenty of shows recently, the JJ Redick pod and the Joe Budden pod, and he's getting asked these questions, and he's doing exactly what Kevin Durant does. He's telling it how he is. He's seen the hate. Kevin Durant's pretty active on Twitter. We know this as Nets fans. We know this just as Kevin Durant fans. So he's seen plenty of, you know, spiteful remarks thrown his way, and now he's responding, and I don't necessarily have a problem with that. Like I've said since the beginning of the year, heading into next year, I want to be the heels. Like, I want to rock that black and white Nets logo of black and white NWO gear from late 90s WCW. Like, I want to embrace the hate, and Kevin Durant's kind of doing that in a sense where he's acknowledging what Knicks fans have said to them, and now he's responding, and like, I got nothing against it. Like, do you speak up? I love it. So
yeah, almost the same exact thoughts as Nolan, and like, based off of the way KD interacts on Twitter, like, this is kind of a response you'd expect. You know what I mean? If they're going to be petty about stuff, he's going to take his shots at him as well.
Yeah, I'm all about taking shots at Knicks fans and Knicks media, so hook it to my veins. Everyone except for our guy Vic at OTG Basketball. Check out his article on OTGBasketball.com about Giannis, one of the best pieces I've read in a very long time from an amateur writer. Guys, I wanted to get to one final thing. We've got plenty of sort of trade stuff relating to Paul George, Giannis, JJ Redick, and Bleacher Report stuff. We'll get to that in future episodes, but Nets Twitter exploded thanks to my guy, Paul Hedley, who is featured on the Just Ball Things NBA podcast and is A bit of a crazy Irishman, I'll put it out there, living in Vietnam right now. Great hoops head, really, really knowledgeable. But he put out a poll.
Somewhat anti-net.
I think he's
he definitely is. Like, Paul is a good dude, but like the trade he put out, I think it was Spencer Dinwiddie and Caris LeVert and Dante DiVincenzo. Like, I love Paul, but like, come on, bro. Like, come on.
He certainly is low on the Brooklyn Nets roster in general. Probably everyone except for Kevin Durant. He's got some takes, and I respect it. We respect takes on any podcast.
Yes, sir.
And this poll probably exploded in a way that caused Nets Twitter to explode with it, including my guy Nolan, who jumped in on the fun as well. He said, all of next season, regular season, and playoffs combined, who would you rather have? And it was Kyrie or Jamal Murray. As of speaking right now, Kyrie has 55% of the vote and Jamal Murray has 45% of the vote. We're all Kyrie vote. I voted for Kyrie here. I'm sure all of you guys did. But Nolan, what was your response in seeing this? I'll provide my response after hearing from you and Nick.
Like, first off, I don't know him personally, but I do respect Paul Hedley for putting his takes out there without fear. We generally felt he put a poll out there. He's willing to, and I've seen it, he's willing to combat anyone that says, you know, he's foolish for putting it out there. So I can fully respect that. But with that being said, it's Kyrie. I mean, I'm not entirely sure. This is an overused cliche in the NBA Twitter sphere, but I'm not entirely sure it's particularly close either.
Yeah.
When I look at Jamal Murray, and I acknowledge and I admire what he's doing, it's absolutely fantastic. I mean, he's still maintaining those 50-40-90 splits, putting up gaudy stats. Denver's in the Western Conference Finals. He's going to be a great point guard moving forward. But when I look at Jamal Murray's ceiling, I kind of view it similar to what like Kyrie Irving's peak is or was, or I shouldn't say was. He had a phenomenal 8, albeit 20 games, but I know what I'm getting with Kyrie in the most dire of straits. I mean, detractors will mention health problems or maybe personalities, but supporters will say, hey, you know, in 3 elimination games against a team that won 73 games, he averaged 30 on 50-50, 100 splits, didn't miss a free throw, and he got to the line at a pretty decent clip. So with Kyrie, I know exactly what I'm getting, and I think Jamal Murray's like absolute peak, and I'm talking like in the next 2-3 years, might be like below what Kyrie is now, and Kyrie is entering his prime. And, you know, if I only get 50 to 60 regular season games of Kyrie, if as long as I'm getting him healthy in the playoffs, he's big time. Like, we've seen it, you know. It's the 2016 finals, you can get, I'm going to keep going back to it, but like, that's the best example. It's Kyrie to me, and it's not entirely close, but that's just my opinion. Jamal Murray is great, but like I said, his peak might not even be what Kyrie was 3-4 years ago, and now he's entering his prime. So
yeah, I mean, it's a lot of recency bias, to be honest. Like, Jamal Murray is popping off right now, playing out of his mind. He's never really proven that he's been able to play at this level the rest of his career. He's always kind of been a hot and cold guy. We're talking about somebody who's never even averaged 20 points per game, and we're saying we'd rather have him than Kyrie Irving, a guy who can almost do that in his sleep. He averaged, I think, 27 for the Nets this season in limited time. And just like, Murray had some favorable matchups, including that one against Utah, where they really didn't even have a good defensive body to throw at him. The Clippers had all types of issues. If Jamal Murray pops off and he averages like 35 and Denver beats the Lakers in this series, I'd probably be willing to have the conversation. But I think right now, Jamal Murray still has a lot of work to do to catch up to Kyrie Irving.
There's only one way that Jamal Murray provides better value next season overall, according to Paul's criteria, is if Kyrie's injured. It's simple as that.
Yeah.
And that is a very real possibility. You know, looking at it objectively, I've said this plenty of times in the pod, that's probably the things that is going to stop us from a championship, the health of KD and the health of Kyrie. It's as simple as that. You know, if those guys are healthy, you know, there's very little reason to bet against the Brooklyn Nets, given the talent on their roster and given how good Kevin Durant can be and how good Kyrie Irving can be. Both of those guys at their ceilings are Kevin Durant, best player in the NBA, Kyrie Irving, one of the two or three best point guards in the NBA. You know, there is not more of a dynamic offensive duo in the NBA. But looking at it from the point of view, the Jamal Murray case, Kyrie Irving is an injury-prone player. And while it's great to hear, and we've spoken about on this pod, the Kevin Durant health and the fact that he's feeling good and all these sort of things, and hopefully I want to hear a little bit more about and talk a little bit more about this pod, about Kyrie Irving's shoulder. What's going on there? You know, we've seen some TikTok videos and all that sort of stuff, and we analyze stupid things in relation to that. But for me, the health of Kyrie Irving is probably the thing that I'm looking at most. Maybe not most. Maybe it's just thinking about it in the heat of the moment. But Kyrie Irving's health could determine the championship caliber, the championship resume for the Brooklyn Nets in 2021. It's as simple as that for me.
Yeah, I agree. No, I think that's a huge factor, and I think that's something to take in consideration with almost the whole roster. You look at different guys down the line, like you mentioned, KD, Kyrie, you know, Caris LeVert. There's a lot of question marks when it comes to health, and you almost have no control over it. Like, you can rest guys, you can, you know, do load management, but all it takes is kind of one freak injury to essentially ruin the season.
Simple as that. Lads, we'll get to some trade stuff and rumor stuff in future pods, but it's been a pleasure as always.
Sure.
As always, too, you can find the Brooklyn Buzz on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, OTGBasketball.com, and Blue Wire Pods.
Sugar Ray Leonard, Roberto Duran, Marvelous Marvin Hagler, and Thomas Hearns. Legends, whose four-way rivalry defined one of the greatest eras in boxing history. Relive their decade of dominance in the new Showtime sports documentary, The Kings, a four-part series premiering Sunday, June 6th, only on Showtime.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.